I'm going to be reading from Isaiah 9, verse 2 and verses 6 and 7 as the first reading. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt on the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Next reading is from Matthew 1, verse 18 to 25. It's entitled The Birth of Jesus Christ. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she found she was to be with child from the Holy Spirit, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that is which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Well, as we come to consider a little more closely the Christmas message this morning, I wonder if you might ever have had a conversation with someone who's made a statement that, whilst that statement is true, is somewhat general and understated. So maybe you see someone, even in church, and they're limping, and you say, what happened? And they say, oh, I hurt my knee. And then they tell you the story of how they had actually shattered their knee. It required urgent surgery. They were then off work for a month. They've followed that up with months of physio, and actually it's still sore even today. But yep, they hurt their knee. My wife Nicola, and a couple of months ago now, had surgery on her neck and arm and her spine. When we went to see the surgeon, he said, look, there's probably four options that we can have that would help us deal with this problem. You could have medication or an injection, and that would help deal with the pain, or there are two surgical options. When it's offered fairly generally like that, you think, oh, well, look, let's take a little bit of medication if that's going to do the job. That would be great. Have to avoid surgery? Fantastic. Now, having started generally with his four options and descriptions of ways in which to deal with this, he then became a little bit more specific. He said, so if you got an injection or drugs, that wouldn't actually fix the problem, but it might help deal with the pain. And he became a bit more specific again. In fact, he said, look, if you did take the drugs, it might help deal with the pain, but actually you would be taking these drugs every day for the rest of your life. The injection might do it, but it might also not help with the pain, but it also can be the case that it can cause issues in your bones. So the general options given at first seemed like a fairly obvious choice for us on which to take, but as he got more specific, he started thinking, okay, hold on a minute. I now see the outworking of some of these general options that you have given us. In fact, surgery was the best way for my wife to go. I think that kind of conversation happens regularly, in fact, moving from the general to the specific. And it's really quite interesting. It's what I want to pick up this morning, in fact, in regards to the Christmas story. See, over the last few weeks, as we as a church have considered Christmas, we've read sections of the Bible. It speaks to us of the Christmas story, part of which Ina has just read to us this morning. It tells us how Jesus came into the world. It tells us generally why he came. The first verses that Ina read said that Jesus would come. He would be Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. Now, these are, of course, all true statements. They tell us generally about Jesus, who he is. But I wonder what that means for you today. If you're a Christian, I wonder what that means for you today. And if you're not a Christian, what might that mean for you today? How does it impact you? Does the fact that Jesus is the Savior of the world, does that help you in the situation you face today? Or is it just a general truth that he's your Savior? Christmas, we know, is generally all about Jesus. He came to be the Savior of the world. There's a baby in a manger that we remember today, but what difference does he make actually today? Does it just make that general difference? Or is it far more specific? Can this baby who is in a manger that we remember today help you in the situation of your life today? Does it make a difference only at Christmas? Or is it all year round? Is it when things are good only that having a baby in a manger is helpful? Or is it even when things are difficult or hurtful or painful, when you don't understand or feel like you can't go on or are even overwhelmed? Did he come just to generally save people, or is there more to it? That's what I want us to think about this morning. It's actually fascinating to look at some of the verses that we read about in the Bible that tell us, not in a general way, but in a much more specific way, why Jesus came. Maybe some of you might even like to follow this up, some of you who would enjoy this kind of exercise, to look up verses, whether in a concordance or maybe just online, using tools there online, that would help you to find verses where Jesus himself might say something like, I came in order to, or I came for this purpose, or for this reason I came, or verses which speak about him. It says, for this reason Jesus came. There's actually a huge lot of them. So while generally we know that Jesus came to be the Savior, so many of these verses help us actually understand what that means. I want to just read a few of them briefly for you. In Timothy, we read, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why there's a baby in a manger. He's there to save sinners. Then in John, Pilate says to Jesus, he says, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king? For this purpose I was born. And for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. In the book of 1 John, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God, Jesus, appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So there's a baby in a manger, and he's there to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus, in the book of John, says, for judgment I came into this world. In the book of Mark, the Son of Man, Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Later in the book of Mark, Jesus, when he heard people talking, said, those who are well have no need of a doctor, only those who are sick. I came, this little baby in a manger came to call the righteous, not the righteous, sorry, but sinners. The Son of Man, we read in Luke, came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus says, do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And in Luke 19, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So many verses which in one way, shape or form tell us why it was that Jesus came. Quite specifically, what it was he came to do. And look, they all fall under the banner of the fact that Jesus came to be the Savior. And there's a lot of reasons, right? He was there to be a light in the darkness. He was there to destroy the works of the devil. The baby in the manger was there to be the truth, to seek and save the lost, to be the judge, to save sinners. I wonder, for those of you who are Christians, if you think about the fact that this baby in a manger came to do all of these things, that each part is part of your salvation. And I think when we look at these specific elements, and look at them a little more closely than just the fact that he came to be our saviour, it helps us think about the gospel, the good news about Jesus, what impact, what difference it makes to us today. Because I think there's probably lots of people, and maybe you're here this morning or you're watching online and you're not a Christian and you think, oh, I just don't get it. Jesus came to be a saviour, so what? What does that mean? What difference does that make? Maybe some of us, even as Christians, can be like that at times. We know Jesus is our Savior, and that's great, and we're glad about it, but does it really help me in the situation I face today? Many of us have struggles and difficulties in our lives. How does a baby in a manger help me with them? See, we're really helpful for you and encouraging to look at some of these specific verses that tell us why it is that he came. It's really important for us to understand, as Christians, the difference Jesus makes in our lives every single day. When I think about what I am dealing with in my life right now, what I know and understand many other people are dealing with in life right now, here and throughout this country and worldwide, things that we find hard, there are things that make us nervous, things that might even cause us to doubt. Even those of us who are Christians doubt our faith. There is sin in our lives that are pressing hard against us, things that we're struggling with, things that we see in other people, but things we see in ourselves. Does a baby in a manger, does the good news of the gospel help with any of these things? It's really important, if you're a Christian, that you understand this for your own sake and also so that you can explain this and share it with others. And if you're not a Christian, then I hope you might actually see this morning and understand that Jesus is good news for you today and every day. And so I want to look just at three verses which speak about why Jesus came. I've already looked, I suppose, at one of them in the book of Psalms, Psalm 84, as I mentioned. How lovely is your dwelling place, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Jesus coming means that today you can be with God. And that is better than anything else this world has to offer. So maybe there's a day where you're not feeling that. You're thinking this world has got lots to offer and I want it. But then you remember a baby in a manger who came in order that you could be with him, and that a day in his courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Spoke to the children and said, Jesus is the greatest gift, incomparable, indescribable. First verse I want us to think about is in Hebrews 9. It says, for Jesus then would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus came as a baby into the world, and that means that people can be forgiven. Christians, you know that you are forgiven. I think we know that in a general way. We know that before God, Christians are right before God. Justified is the word. We are not guilty before God because of Jesus. Our sins are forgiven, and Jesus, we're told, lived a perfect life, and his perfect life is credited to us. So we stand right before God, even though in our lives we know we are not perfect. Before God, we stand perfect because of what Jesus has done. He's forgiven us of our sins. And what we can say is that ultimately Jesus came, we are saved from the punishment of sin. Every person needs a savior. Otherwise, we will face the punishment of sin in our lives and in the life to come. But Jesus came to take away our sins by the sacrifice of himself. So we know that. Sins can be forgiven generally, but specifically here's what it means as well. Today, you can have your sin forgiven. Generally, yes, your sins are forgiven. Generally, yes, if you're a Christian, you stand right before God, justified before God. But any sin of today or of yesterday, you can pray and ask and God will forgive you of it. And sometimes you might doubt that because you see that sin and you see it repeatedly in your life, but he came to be your savior, which means that today you can be forgiven. It's not enough to know that you're generally forgiven. You need to know that that particular sin that you're struggling with and find difficult, there's a baby in a manger there to deal with that today. Those who believe in Jesus come to him and ask for forgiveness. Here's what it also means as well. Now, whether you are a Christian or you're not a Christian here with us today, people live with sin. Many justify their sin. They accept it. They couldn't care less about it. Some revel in it, use it to their advantage. But many people struggle with their sin. They struggle with the sin of others as well. And the gospel has a lot to say about that. The good news of a baby coming in a manger helps deal with that today. Because you no longer need to live that way. You no longer need to be bound and entangled by sin. And so those who deal with and struggle with or see greed or rudeness or bitterness, hatred, selfishness, anxiety, sexual sin, pornography. People struggle with these things every day. They have a grip on their life and they just can't seem to get free of it. But Jesus came to be a savior and actually more specifically to help you deal with these things. Because he came and died, he's put all that sin away. It cannot have mastery over you. It cannot rule you because he came and died and put away all that sin. Do you see sin in your life? Do you see sin in other people's? Does that need dealt with today? The good news of the baby in the manger and why he came bears upon our lives today. So we should come to him and we should seek forgiveness and pray for his help in the battle against sin. Second verse, Jesus himself says, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Why is this an important one for today? How is the outworking of this verse going to help me today? What's a baby in a manger going to do about this? For those who are Christians, we can say that we live in the light. We know who Jesus is. He is the light of the world. We now live our lives as disciples of him. That means the Bible says we're no longer dead in our sins. We're not going to have to face punishment for our sins. And had he not come, we would have remained in the darkness. We would have not known the truth. We would have thought we were living our best lives. We would have thought we were having a great time, following the lies of the world, living for ourselves. But ultimately, we would be lost. But now, for those who are Christians, we live in the light. But what about more specifically? How does the gospel, how does the good news of a baby in a manger bear upon our lives today in regards to this verse? Well, we're told that this baby came to defeat, to dispel, to get rid of the darkness. In the book of 1 John chapter 3, it says the reason the Son of God appeared, the reason this baby's in a manger was to destroy the works of the devil. There's so much darkness in our world today. Surely you see that. This world is not as it should be. There's death. It shouldn't be there. There's disease and suffering and toil and hardship and famine and poverty, and it shouldn't be there. This world is not as it should be. There is darkness, but Jesus came into the world to get rid of the darkness. And even in our own lives, we still see it and we experience it, even those of us who are Christians. And the truth is, this darkness does not win. Sin cannot overtake your life if you're a Christian. There's evil, there's struggle and difficulty, but it cannot overcome you if you trust in Jesus. Sin cannot defeat you because Jesus has defeated sin. He has defeated the devil. He defeated the devil as soon as he came to earth as a little baby. And also then when he died and rose again on the cross. There's a verse that we read that says, he that is in you, those of us who are Christians, have Jesus living within us, and he is greater than the darkness in the world. So maybe today you feel anxious, but you need not fear if you have Jesus. Maybe today the world might overwhelm you, you might be discouraged, you might feel that you are without hope. But the truth is this, if you are saved by the baby who is in the manger, he saved you from the darkness, he's destroyed the works of the devil. That bears upon our lives today. So we should come to him, and again, we should pray that he'll help us in our battle against sin and in our lives, and that he might give us hope and joy, even in a world that is full of darkness. And then the final verse is this, in the book of John, chapter 10, and in verse 10, Jesus says, I have come. So many reasons why he came. I have come in order that they may have life in all its fullness. Other versions of the Bible say, I've come that you might have abundant life. And the truth is this, having fullness of life, having an abundant life is only possible because of the baby in the manger. Because that's why he came, to offer that to you. Some of you have that and you know that, and many others don't. You've not accepted this gift. This abundant life can come no other way. It's better to be one day with Jesus and 1,000 elsewhere. There's nothing this world can offer that comes close to the abundant life that Jesus offers. That's what the Bible tells us. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't have him, then you've got life, a measure of it, but certainly not life as it was intended. Certainly not abundant life. Because Jesus came, and only his coming gives abundant life. He gave fullness of life. So if you don't have Jesus, you might have life, but only a measure, not to the fullest extent. And that means that every day this is a promise to us. Let me say this, this is not just a general overall statement that Christians will look back on their lives and say, yep, Jesus has given me abundant life. Whether I agree with it or not, he's given me abundant life because that's what the Bible says, and generally I can say that. Because I think the truth is this, for many of us, even as Christians, if we're honest, we've got the wrong idea of abundant life. We have struggles, we have difficulties, we're anxious, we struggle with health. We get discouraged, we get overwhelmed. We're fearful, we're without hope, we can't understand. And we think, is this the abundant life? The abundant life doesn't mean that everything's going to just be great and wonderful and without any issue or concern for us. Actually, the abundant life is to know Jesus. It's to know Jesus. And so he came in a manger so that you could know him. And if you have him, you have life, abundant life. There's nothing greater. C.S. Lewis, the famous author, said these words that I'm sure many of you will have heard. His Jesus finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. We are like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because we cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. This world has got nothing compared to the baby in a manger and why he came. He offers you himself. And if you walk every day with Jesus and you look to him in how to live, and if you love him, you will know infinite joy that leads to abundant life. Abundant life is found in living for Jesus and living with him, giving your life to him. It means being obedient to what he says. If you're obedient to him, you will have abundant life. That doesn't make sense to many people. Surely being obedient to Jesus means I will ruin my life, spoil my life. But the opposite is true. You follow him, you give your life to him more and more, you will have the abundant life. Fullness of life. You know what? We needn't be dissatisfied in this life. We needn't seek joy or fulfillment or satisfaction in this world. Why? Because there's a baby in a manger who came to save us. And if he has saved you, he's offered you himself. And that means you have life, even life in all its fullness. And so the good news of a baby in a manger bears on our life today. We should come to him, spend time with him, get to know him and seek him. Because in doing that, we understand what life is about. And to know and to experience abundant life. So let me finish. I think it's really helpful that we consider some of these more specific details about Jesus coming. Details, when we press them, help us understand how it impacts our lives today. They're the kind of details that if you're a Christian, you need to dwell on. And you need to learn so that you can share them with others. If you're not a Christian, maybe you don't think Jesus has any relevance. But even from just three verses in the Bible, I hope you might see, in fact, Jesus has come not only just to be our Savior generally, but in every way, in every part of our life, to save us. There's a baby born in a manger at Christmas. Who cares? What difference does it make? Why should I believe in him? But there's wonder and there's joy in being saved by Jesus. You can be forgiven of your sin. But also, the sin that you see in your life cannot overcome you. It can be dealt with even today. There is darkness in our world, and even in our lives, we wrestle with that darkness. But because Jesus came, we can have light. We can have hope. We can have joy. And there's abundant life offered to you if you would come to Jesus today. Turn around from the life lived for yourself, seeking life that this world offers, and instead come to Jesus today. The final little thing is this. There's a phrase, maybe you've heard it, about dogs in particular, but animals. A dog is for life, not just for Christmas. People get excited about presents and pets at Christmas, and then they kind of lose interest after a little while. They get bored. Why this phrase about a dog is for life, not just for Christmas, came around. Because it's known that after the Christmas and New Year period, dog shelters get full of all these dogs, all these animals that people no longer want. There was an excitement for a moment. There was something interesting about it. But then just the day-to-day just gets difficult. The responsibility of having a pet, the excitement wears off. And Jesus' coming can kind of be the same. It's very sad that that could even be true. But we focus on it at Christmas. We remember its significance. But what's that going to look like in a month or two or three from now? What difference is Jesus coming, having a savior? What difference is that going to make in your life then? Are you going to just be over it? It's fine. Yeah, it was okay for a while. It was good. I liked it. I'm glad. Or is it just a general true statement, yeah, I'm saved, but the impact really is minimal? Does the excitement and the reality of Jesus' birth wear off, or does the gospel still bear on our lives every single day? We want the reality of Jesus coming to be our reality in our life each day. We want the joy of our salvation to work its way into our lives so that we rejoice every day and that we tell other people that they also might know Jesus came for them. It's good news for the whole world, but it's also good news for you if you accept it and believe it today. So then consider the baby. Remember why he came and do not forget the wonder and the intricacy, the outworking and the relevance of your salvation today and every day. Amen.